And now joining us on set, he is the Pro Football Hall of Famer to kick off the show. I have his tequila actually still in my apartment, and I drink it often because I love this tequila every time that he brings it. Thank you, thank you. Look at the tequila. I have this in my apartment still from the last time you gave it to me.
You're not drinking enough?
No. I'm slowly drinking it because I'm savoring. I'm savoring every taste, every sip, every last drop of it. But Emmett Smith is here with us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, and we appreciate Emmett obviously always coming on. I think, see, I'll help you. I'll give you a boost. I think you got to stand up, and then that should be able to boost up. No? You want to just take my chair? We could do that?
No.
See, this is like live on the fly. Wow.
No, we good.
We're good.
I'm not going to be here long.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about the Cowboys. You want to leave?
Yeah.
So I'm what's going on? Right How now. You been?
I've been good, brother. How about you?
I'm fantastic. So let me start you off with Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
This game, you think running backs, right? We're talking to you. How about what Saquon's been able to do for the running back position this
Man,
year?
I think it's been phenomenal watching Saquon go out here and do his thing. It's great for the Eagles because they received a top-notch quality football player. It's bad for the Giants because they got rid of the wrong player. But nonetheless, this particular game itself, the team that protects the ball the most and is able to establish the running game will have a chance to be another Super Bowl champion.
Well, it's funny because I was talking about it right before you came on. You look at the Chiefs. Everyone talks about Reed, Spagnuolo, Mahomes, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. Those are the established names that everybody fears. But then you see 1 through 53 with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are a better team, but with the star presence and the coaching presence of the Chiefs, you know, you don't need to be the better team necessarily on paper to win the game.
No, you don't. You just got to play quality football. And the one thing about the Chiefs are built to play in tough games. So they are mentally tough, and they're going to grind you down and probably beat you physically and emotionally for four quarters. They're going to try to frustrate the hell out of you. And for Philadelphia, they're going to have to show patience and develop patience right now, and they're going to have to leverage every bit of what Saquon can do in order to keep the Chiefs on the bench. Third down conversions is going to be huge for Philadelphia, and because that's what keep the drive alive and keep the drive moving, keep the ball moving down the field. But you don't want to give Patrick Mahomes a chance to score right before the half, and you don't definitely want to give him the ball at the end of the game.
Emmett Smith here with us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. I was talking to Micah yesterday, and we were talking about Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett came up, and he said if he joined the Cowboys, it would be a race, first one to 20 sacks. But then he talked about the finances and how it may not potentially be able to work out with the amount of money that Mike is going to make and what Myles is probably looking for as well. I'm assuming you'd be interested in the Cowboys potentially acquiring Myles Garrett in a trade,
Most
right?
Most definitely. Anything to help with a pass rush and stopping the run is much welcome in Dallas, in my opinion. But we got a lot of issues that we have to get resolved. But having Myles Garrett on the defense along with Micah Parsons on the other side, man, you talking about something phenomenal. You talking about nightmares for quarterbacks. That right there, that could be something pretty significant.
Did the Cowboys mess this up with McCarthy? Should he still be coaching this team?
No. He should have been gone about a year ago. I think we held on to him a year too long, and it delayed whatever process that we needed to go through. I mean, I don't have nothing against Mike McCarthy, but when our team get bounced out of the playoff like they did last year, and this year happens the way it did, things was heading that direction. And we didn't do anything about it. We waited a year too long. And now we're starting over a year later when we should have been in this process a year ago.
Shoddy, though, with him becoming the next head coach, I think there's only been one person to really defend it. But, like, I don't even love Kellen Moore. I'd rather have Kellen Moore than Brian Schottenheimer. Are you on board with Brian Schottenheimer?
No, I'm not necessarily on board with anything at this point because I thought we would have went to a defensive coach or a much more seasoned coach with a name than what we got. I mean, Pete Carroll would have been fine. I think if
Belichick would have been awesome if he didn't go to UNC.
I don't know about that one. I think the relationship between Belichick and Jerry would have been toxic. Could have been too toxic. However, I do believe if he would have went after Mike Shanahan and brought him out of retirement, that would have been something different. But also,
is that something you were hearing?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's something that I'm sitting up there thinking about. I'm thinking about who would be a great head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Even Deion would have done a great job. I think Deion would have put together – he would have had enough of a staff that wanted to come work with him at that level.
Why didn't that happen? Because Jerry threw it out there right away. Schefter had it right when the news came out that McCarthy wasn't happening, and that never got off the ground.
Great story. And again, it's a PR machine around the Dallas Cowboys that just reverberates throughout the media markets. Because if the Cowboys make a statement like that, you have to cover it. And you covered it, and everyone covered it well. But it didn't work out that way, but the Cowboys' name was still out there. And marketing.
I say this all the time. I'm a big reality TV fan. You know, we talk all this sports.
Yeah.
When you get home, you got to watch something that's not sports-related from time to time.
Right.
If Jerry Jones was running Reality TV Network, make a lot of money. He knows how to run reality TV better than he does, I think, football these days.
Hey, that may be true. That might be true. I know he did a good job on Land, man. I keep hearing about it all the time.
Also, Hard Knocks with the McDonald's sandwich and all the salt as well.
Brand building.
Yeah.
Brand building, brand opportunities, selling opportunities.
So you still obviously look great, but you're associated with the old guard of the Dallas Cowboys, right? Are you guys just fed up with what has happened with the Cowboys and Jerry?
You know, I'm not going to say with Jerry, but, you know, I think as fans, because we get asked this stuff all the time from everybody that's a Dallas Cowboy fan.
You, go Drew ahead, Pearson, go, yeah, Irvin, even if you Troy.
Don't, even if you don't even want to answer or respond, you still get asked the question so much by so many different people to where you're like, hey, I'm tired of talking about it. Let me just give you my opinion on this, and hopefully this is good enough. And so, but we have created this this negative vibe around the Dallas Cowboys that has lasted for over 25 years. And it's all around winning. Has nothing to do with, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the Cowboys brand. Because the Cowboys brand has grown for the last 20-some-odd years. It's worth one of the highest, if not the highest, valued franchise in all of sports. And if that's the case, why aren't we winning? Are we talking about winning, or are we talking about being valued?
You're making me want to drink here. You're spitting facts here.
Well, it is facts. I mean, seriously, are we talking about winning, or are we talking about being valued? I mean, value, no one can argue value.
I say,
and when you try to argue value, then you have to ask yourself, okay, isn't that winning? Yes, it's winning on the business side.
How we think of winning, though, I don't think Jerry puts it as priority number one. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, and that could be facts in some ways. In some ways, yeah. I mean, I can't argue with some of this.
So let me ask you this. When you're critical of the Cowboys, because you've been very open every time I've talked to you about Dallas, I think you just say the truth.
Right.
Does Jerry call you up?
No.
Jerry, because he likes the attention, good or bad?
That's a question for Jerry.
Okay.
I can't answer that. What's going in that man's head. But all I can know, I can sit back here and look at things objectively like everyone else tries to. I can draw my own conclusion like everyone else is doing. And I have some personal insights because what I've been through with the Dallas Cowboys in terms of playing for them for 13 years, starting at the very beginning when he bought the team and they was losing $1 million a month to the point where we went 7-9, and then to the point we went 11-5, and then to the Super Bowl. So I can go through that whole thing and understand and see and sit back now objectively and look at, okay, this is how it was built. I've been in it. So to me, sitting back and looking at, there's a significant disconnect between the operating of the Cowboys brand and the operations of the football team. And the success of the Cowboys brand and the success of the football team.
All right. I know about the tequila. Tell everyone else. And by the way, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Yeah. And
yeah. Smooth.
It's what time is it? It's 3:15 here.
Yeah.
It's 3:15.
2:15 Central.
Oh, is it 2:15 yeah. Central?
3:15 back on the East Coast.
Oh, so this is set up on 3?
Yeah, yeah. We're New Yorkers.
Oh, so it doesn't adjust?
I don't know. Not my computer. You know what, though? I'll take a second shot of this, and you can tell me whatever time you want.
It's 3:15 somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Somewhere. It could be East Coast. Mm-hmm. It could be Central.
That's good.
That is real good. That is the finest tequila right there. This is right here what you're drinking right now. It's Herradura Ultra Añejo. It's a Cristalino. And so it's distilled out of Jalisco, out of Guadalajara. And it's a quality tequila. As you know, you be sipping on it, you still got some left over, and I brought you another bottle. So you'll never run out.
Well, I appreciate it. Emmett Smith, always great to see you.
Likewise.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.